Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Ward and my guest today is Xinghan Carlo Huang.
Very perfect pronunciation there.
Thanks. Now, you also go by the name of Carla.
Yes.
Carla Huang.
Yes.
Just give us a little bit about your family. So you were born in China, correct?
Yes.
Whereabouts? Which part of China?
The hometown of Hot Pot, basically.
Of what? Hot Pot? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Hot Pot. You know, the very spicy pot that Chinese people are fervent about.
Okay, a special dish, yeah?
Yes.
Now, is that in the south or the north?
The southwest of China.
And which province or which area?
Chengdu, Sichuan.
So I would say Sichuan, so we said that's kind of quite spicy cooking, is that what you're saying? Yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So where did you grow up? Let's start with your family, actually. What about your family? What did they do?
My dad, he went to America at quite an early stage, and then he eventually became an engineer.
So how old was he when you your dad went to America for work?
I think right before I was born, in 87, and I was born in 88.
Okay, mm-hmm. So he was very good at maths, you say, mathematics?
Yes, yes.
And he became, what did he become after this?
A computer engineer.
Okay, so computer engineer, so that's pretty top stuff, yeah? So he was there, what, in the 80s then, late 80s, 90s?
Yes.
So was he very successful?
I think he's a very traditional guy, you know?
What do you mean by that? Family guy?
Yeah, like family values and stable jobs. So he was never 100%. Sent in for me to be in the wine industry. Actually, I remember when I was in college and I wanted to study wine, I told him to pay for my fee for the WSET, and he was so angry. He felt like the next step would be me into one of those, you know, very... When he thinks of drinking, it's all of those...
The negatives.
Negative stuff, yeah.
But he must have known you, that you're not that kind of person, or you don't seem to be that kind of person.
I don't know. I mean, he's just...
You seem very level.
Anxious.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he was, yeah. So from China, so when did you start studying in the USA? How old were you when you went to college?
So I actually, because I took a few gap years.
A few.
A few gap years, actually. My mom was crazy for a while. She wanted to get me out of the school system. So my mom's the very opposite of my dad. She felt like the whole system... And in the whole society.
In China, you're talking about.
Yeah, in China, in the world, actually. The whole mainstream is crazy, and she wanted to get me rid of the bad influence from society, so she didn't want me to be in the school system for a while. And so I took some gap years. But then I eventually returned to the normal track and started my high school when I was 18 years old.
So was that at Brown University?
No, that was in high school.
Okay.
So it took me 2 years to finish my high school in America, and then...
So were you a bit behind the other children in terms of age group or not?
Yes, I was 2 years older than my peers.
Okay, did they accept you though? A, you're older, B, you're a woman.
I have a baby face, you know, so I blended in very naturally.
Okay, yeah. So you make friends easily.
I don't know, sometimes I'm not an easy person, but generally speaking...
You take a while to warm up. It's just to try and get your CV details. It was a bit of a battle, but we got there in the end. So you also studied in Paris when you a few years ago when you were about 25 years old. What were you doing in Paris?
I went to the Le Cordon Bleu wine program there. So that was after college. I decided to really, you know, study wine seriously.
Why wine?
Okay. It was a long story. So when I was in college, I recorded some YouTube-style video, and it went viral on the web.
Really?
And so I got, because, you know,
Where did the idea come from that? I mean, you're almost like a fish out of water. You're not in your home country. You know, China then certainly... maybe was developing a bit of a wine culture, but by no means university. Why would you end up in France in wine and then making videos for people that you never met before?
Yeah, I was going to finish the story with my, you know, viral video. And so it was toward the Chinese audience, but it was in a very sarcastic style. And, you know, actually at that time, a lot of Chinese, we don't get sarcasm that well. And so people thought I was the crazy person. I was acting, and I got famous because of that. But then I got very kind of attacked by the whole internet violence, and so I drank a lot at that time. That was how I fell in love with wine, actually.
So when you say drunk, you mean you tasted lots of wine. You're not saying having a bottle and guzzling a bottle every 5 minutes.
Both, you know. My friend gave me a gift card in a wine shop. You know, they have those sort of machine where you can just. And I just took a sip of every different kinds of wine, and surprisingly, every wine tastes so differently. You know, if you're not growing up in a wine environment, you know, chances are you think all wines taste the same. So that opened a whole new world to me, and I was very curious about wine. So I, you know, studied more and more. And the more I studied, the more I wanted to pursue it as a serious career. And so after college, I worked in a Michelin restaurant in New York for a little bit, and then I heard that there was a really good wine program in Le Cordon Bleu, so that's when I went to Paris to study it.
Right, so you already got some knowledge before you arrived in Paris then?
Yes, actually at that time I was already doing the WSET diploma, but I didn't even until now I didn't finish it, because, you know, and then you're in a different country studying an entire different wine system. And then I, you know, did my startup, and things go hectic every day, so that never got finished.
What I don't understand is what were you actually saying when you were getting all the hostility on social media? What were you saying about wine that people found discomforting or annoying, or why were you such a target?
Oh, it was, it's very hard to explain in English, actually.
Was it because you're a woman?
There was that too, maybe, but I was really acting very bitchy in the video, because there's
But did you do that deliberately, or was that what you genuinely felt?
Yeah, obviously I did that deliberately, because I met a lot of people. I was mimicking and, you know, exaggerating their mannerism, you know, and so there was a flood of studied abroad students from China to the U.S. that kind of looked up to the American culture but forgot their own root, sort of, you know, character. And so I was acting them.
So you're basically getting criticized by people that actually should have been supporting you.
Yeah, exactly.
In a way, you kind of quite liked that, because it was like a double... You were saying what you felt and then getting criticized by people that hadn't really understood or listened to what you were saying, which was kind of the point of what you're making in the first place, wasn't it?
People just
being a bit superficial.
Yeah.
So you must be, you know, going out, someone goes out for an evening with you, either they'll have a great time or they'll find you quite challenging. Is that true? I mean, so far this interview is going fine, you know, but you're quite an intense lady, aren't you?
I'm fine. I'm very easygoing.
Yeah, you are, but you're tough on the inside. You have to be to handle that kind of criticism. I mean, that can't be easy.
Yes.
You know, the age, you're not in your own country, and probably people being quite rude.
I was once a very sensitive person who really cares about other people's opinion. So I really grew strong out of that experience to prepare me for my later internet celebrity career.
Okay, but one question is, how do you earn a living, and how do you monetize your celebrity status?
Oh, you mean now?
Yeah.
I mean,
or
now,
even then.
Then I was the student, you know, so I kind of lived, that wasn't a problem back then. Now, if I didn't start my company and just being an internet celebrity in China, that is the fastest money-making way you can ever do. But now, because you have your own company and you have to support, now our company has 70 people, and so...
That's your company?
Yeah.
You have 70 people that work for you?
Yeah. So that's a big burden. And for all of the money you make from, for example, advertisement, you have to get it pulled into the company and hoping that the company doesn't fall or, you know, go broke in the next year, hopefully.
So what is your revenue stream? How does that work? You're getting advertising, but what is your site offering advertisers? What does it do?
We never do advertisement for wine companies or wine producers. It's just some other beverage companies, for example, like Johnny Walker or Hennessy, that sometimes we get occasional advertisement from, but that's not the main part of our business. We sell wine, that's the main part. And we have China's largest wine community and wine membership. So half of our income comes from wine members that pay us an annual fee and also buy wines from us for a membership price. And the other part of our business comes from our private label. So for the more entry-level wine, anything below, say, 100 RMB, we source wine from producers from around the world and stick our own private label to maximize the value for our customers.
What are your most successful private label wines? Which regions or wine stars are we talking about?
Chile. We sell, like for private label, Chile is the best selling. And then Australia. We are selling for an Austrian Grüner Veltliner for 88 RMB. So we sometimes do a little something more interesting. We haven't actually found the right private label wine from France, even though, you know, French wine in China is huge. But because we're really, you know how hard it is to find good value budget wine in France compared to the other New World. So that we haven't had success in. We also have Italian wines.
So what do you carry from Italy? Is that own label or is that private label? Is that the estate's own label or your label?
So basically, you know, like entry level, private label for our entry level wine and not private label for our, you know, higher end wines.
So your private label, where are you sourcing wine from? Is it red, white, sparkling?
Everything.
Okay, well roughly, like in Tuscany or southern Italy, Sicily?
Sicily.
Okay. And what about the winery's label on the front? Where are you? So is it more prestigious appellations? Are you still looking for denominations? Or are you looking still for value?
So it depends. Because for our membership wines, we have wines from, you know, 150 RMB to more than 1,000 RMB. So it's really, really varied. One of the first project line that I started is actually a monthly subscription. So every month you'll get a 200 RMB, which is roughly 25 euros bottle of wine, which is already quite premium, right?
Yeah.
And so members, they get a wine selected by us every month. And for that, we're looking for very prestigious region or very famous producers. And for that line of product, Italian wine, we did Barolo, we did Amarone. So as obviously, we cover all the classic regions, the most famous regions around the world. So as to give our members a very comprehensive view of the wine world, because those are the people who just started to get interested in wine, and you want to show them the best sites as if you are like a tourist and you want to, you know, be shown to the most famous site first. And that's the purpose of that product line.
Who's doing the sourcing of the wines? Is that you or you have a team of buyers? Or
Yes, I have a team of buyers. Also, my partner is in charge of the supply side of our business.
That your business partner?
Yes.
Okay, and he's Chinese, is he?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have permanent staff in Italy as well and France or not?
We're not that big yet. Well, hopefully one day we'll have station everywhere around the world.
Okay, so you're very ambitious then.
It's an interesting question. I don't know if I'm ambitious or not. I have this sort of blueprint in my head, and I don't know how much is required to complete it. But I know that I'm not there yet. So
okay, how old are you, Sarah? That's a very rude question to ask.
I just told you that I was born in the 88.
Yeah, no, okay.
I'm 30 now.
Right. Okay. So you're 30 years of age, and you have at least one company, one main company, yeah.
Yes.
I imagine you have other ones.
No, I don't.
So, I mean, how big are you in China in terms of your wine club? Are your members from across China or in one particular area of China? How does it work? You're allowed to sell wine across the whole country or not?
Mm-hmm. So we're mainly e-commerce based. We have our store in all of the major Chinese e-commerce websites, as well as our own mini app. So that's the main part of our business. Also, we have wine bars in Beijing and Shanghai, but it's more of a off-site center for our members to experience our wines and services. So that's not the major model.
So you actually have your own bars, or do they have your own brand on? Do you have a fee that you don't actually own the building and the bar, or do you?
I do. It's called Lady Penguin Wine Shop and Bar.
Great name.
Great name.
Why Lady Penguin?
Because...
You like penguins?
My nickname was Penguin. And, you know, one penguin has a fat belly.
You're not fat. You're slim and...
But penguin, you know, they give people the impression that they are a very an elegant drinker and eater, you know. And they walk very waddly and... as if they're in a drunk mood, so it's a very suitable image for a wine brand.
That's a good one. I mean, I think they're probably quite popular animals.
They are.
Everybody's
they
heard
are.
Of penguins and.
And you know, China's internet Mongols, Tencent. The image of Tencent is a penguin. So.
But you made the penguin choice independently of that, or did you look at the penguin?
No, it's totally independent. It really was my nickname. So.
Okay. Well, you're penguins are not the fastest movers of all time, are they? I have a friend who filmed penguins in the Antarctic called Penguin Post Office, which is the most isolated post office in the world, and he was there for about 4 months. He said if he ever saw another penguin again, he was going to shoot himself. obviously penguins slow movers, but you are very quick in terms of business and being a little bit ahead of the curve in what you're doing, and I'm sure you have a very fruitful career ahead of you in terms of business. I mean, I can only kind of see your business growing. What do you think the challenges will be for you in terms of sourcing or in terms of the Chinese market, in terms of how quickly that is evolving?
I think the major challenge is not knowing how to... Okay, the major challenge is that there is no path for you to follow, because if anybody asks a Chinese person in the wine business, how do you see the wine business or the wine industry in 5 years in China? Nobody would know. I was just talking to one of our producers in New Zealand, and he was telling me that, okay, if you go to an American or British market and you work on it, you will know exactly what you're gonna get. But that is just not true in China. The channels are very fragmented, and people haven't the entire market hasn't decided how it's going to evolve. Is it gonna be more online or offline? And for the offline, where would the boutique wines go? Because now there is actually not a very mainstream boutique wine channel. It's sometimes, you know, on premier restaurants and bars, but they don't occupy as much of a percentage of sales as in the traditional market.
So but why is that? Is that because of the price, or just because people aren't used to maybe drinking those super premium wines?
It's not a question about... Okay, so if you buy like a premium wine in a 5-star hotel in China, it's gonna be more expensive than in America, in the same situation, or in a, you know, like a nice quality restaurant. Maybe the wine searcher is 100 RMB. For example, and on the restaurant list, it can be 700. It's just the margin is way too high, and Chinese, they know they are afraid of the ripoff. So there's this whole insecurity around wine consumption that I am trying to solve now. And the biggest challenge for me is that I am educating the market, but you never know if you're also going to be the one who can, you
profit
know,
from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Profit yeah, you're helping
because
out.
Sometimes the education and the one who educate and the one who profit are usually not the same guy, and that is going to be our challenge, because we're doing a lot of contents and education, whether it is the online video or now that we're starting with our wine courses. So along the way, I hope to build a brand that the current generation of current young generation in China would rely on. And I think private brand is a great way to, you know, to make people trust in your wine selection and also the membership program too. So eventually my answer to your question on what's the challenge is that, like from the very beginning, there is no path in China, in Chinese market now. We're just hoping that we can, you know, create our path and there will be enough people that can follow us.
So kind of a little bit like Amazon in a way. I mean, that's not the best analogy of all time, but, you know, they've become a behemoth because their model of online selling is multiplied and they're kind of the go-to brand for buying stuff online, effectively. Otherwise, it's very fragmented. And what you're saying, you're hoping you're going to be a little bit like that in terms of wine. Do you sell other things apart from, obviously, wine, but do you sell, like, decanters or all the apparatus you can have from corkscrews, that kind of stuff? Do you sell all that sort of stuff as well with
anything wine style related? We do
key rings.
We even have like
t-shirts,
corkscrew earrings. That
corkscrew
we sell.
Earrings.
Yes,
they must be very painful to put in.
It's really cool. It sells
okay
really well.
Okay, if you're an elephant with huge ears, it's not going to hurt you. You've got quite small ears, so that's going to be a little bit tricky.
So we sell coffee.
Coffee?
Yeah, we sell ham. Anything, you know, that the
mattresses,
wine demographic.
Tea towels, golf clubs. Vibraphones.
Anything our demographic would like, we can sell.
Cuddly toys.
Cuddly toys.
Towels. Toothpaste.
We sell penguins. Penguin toys.
Do you really sell penguin
no,
toys?
No, we don't. We will. We will be selling.
Do you sell real penguins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so you've got a lot of ideas and a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy. I mean, how well do you sleep at night? You've got a lot on your shoulders. You seem pretty chilled, actually, for someone that's got a burgeoning company with quite a degree of risk to it.
It is hard to keep up with the energy level, and that has been a major problem for me. So I can't say I'm handling that well. And I was actually joking with my friend saying I am swaggling between the two stages. One is getting too drunk and one is getting too anxious. So it is hard to balance anything. It's not even between work and life. It's just balancing work.
Are your family still supportive of you? Are they proud of you?
That's an interesting question because my mom, like I said, she's an environmentalist. So at the beginning, when I started studying wine, she thought that my career would be to work for the rich people because rich people drink wine. And that wasn't exact. My mom has a very grassroots mentality and she didn't want that to be what I do for my life. But then she wanted to appear open-minded, so she didn't not support me outright, but she was kind of grudging. But now I think she can see that how this might be a segue to educating more people to have a better taste, and it's not just restricted to like the rich people, but actually to everybody, to help everybody to appreciate life just a little bit more into so now she's kind of more at peace. My dad, I think he still thinks at some point in my life I'm gonna return back to the academy. For some reason she thought that I will work in a college. I'm doing some research work. This is still something he believes in now, even until this day. So.
Well, you get on with your dad, right? He must be also quite proud of you. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. So, yeah.
But he's he's the mathematician, right? So he's probably for him, maybe he sees you as kind of illogical.
Yeah,
you're following
like
some dream rather than. But you must show him the numbers. Successful business.
He's the like the typical nutty, nerdy professor type of character.
You're quite nerdy. I mean, it's not like that hasn't rubbed off on you. You know, you are a little bit nerdy.
Yeah, but if you do.
I mean that in a very nice way. You're a nice nerd.
Nice nerd.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know, but you know, if you see me on camera, I'm showing like an entire different personality.
Well, we'll video you next time. When you come back on, we'll get a video up. But you look very relaxed to me. You obviously got a lot of responsibilities, as I said, on your shoulders. You've got a big idea, big project. And if it succeeds, I'm sure you'll be even more successful than you are now. You're a very good communicator, and you've been a lot of fun. Now I've got to say thank you very much for my guest today. I've got to try and pronounce it as well as I did beforehand.
Sheng Han Carla Wang.
Well, I'm going to let you say that. Okay, so it's been really good to meet you. And I wish you every success.
Yes, thank you so much.
The penguin, I've never interviewed a penguin before. It's great. You know, I thought you'd smell like kind of fishy and a little bit arctic, but you don't. It's great. You know, you've got a woolen jacket on.
I will send you a clip of a YouTube video where there's the collection of penguins slipping on ice. They look very, very drunk. So well,
they probably were. They probably
that
just
would justify me penguin. Naming myself Penguin.
Penguin bar. Yeah. Okay, listen, great to meet you.
Thank you. And, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, it wasn't. You thought it was going to be really difficult, this interview, didn't you? You were very skeptical when you walked in. Don't deny you were, weren't you? You think your brand is going to go completely wrong because you did one terrible interview on the Italian Wine Podcast. That's the end of your career. Your dad would have been proved right. Your mum will take you back under her wing. You'll have to finish your degree. You know, you start all these degrees in about four different countries and you never finish them.
By the way, just on a side story, you know, not for recording purpose.
The
turning point for my mom is that when she went to the Quintorelli Vineyard with me.
In Valpolicella, yeah?
Yes. Before, she didn't realize that winemaking or vineyard work is very harmonious gesture between human and nature. This is the whole Chinese philosophy part. She is a lover of Chinese philosophy and culture, so she thought, okay, wine, the, you know, harmony between man and nature, this is good stuff. Maybe my daughter will get something out of this whole wine experience anyway. So
are you into organic and biodynamic or not really?
Oh, that is a very interesting question. I don't think that I have the right to comment on it until I really actually get down to earth with it, you know.
Well, that's a good one. Get down to earth. That's a great turn of phrase. You know, I write about organics and biodynamics. I might use that as my next target, my next book. You know, they're great. If you can't sleep properly, you just read one of my wine books. You know, you'll be out like a light within 3 seconds. Just talk about all these lunar cycles and stuff. So I want to say thanks again. Thank you again to my guest, Shenhan Carlo Huang.
Yes.
For telling us about your exploits in various parts of the world, but mainly in China. May you have every success.
Thank you.
That was like, really 2 words. You got 25 minutes of interview. Do you want to say it again? You're going to come nearer to the microphone.
I always have a problem with closing a conversation, you know.
You don't have trouble starting one, that's for sure. You got 40 minutes without me getting a question in, you know. It's like a machine.
I know.
We could hook you up to the power supply. And
May we all be well.
Thank you. Cool. Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you too.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.